Hello, this is Janet Gallen welcoming you to Love Letters Live, and big treat today, actually, a return of Dr. Mary Lou Naccarato. And many of you have heard her. If you didn't hear her last Love Letters Live, you probably want to just go find it. She's delightful. Mary Lou is a certified sexologist. Well, you talk about your credentials because they're huge, and then we'll just talk about what you want to say.
Thank you, Janet. It's so wonderful to be back again. I always enjoy talking with you, even when we're not on the air.
Thank you.
I'm a clinical sexologist and certified sexuality educator with ASEX, which is the American Association of Sexuality Educators, Counselors, and Therapists. And I'm also a media sexologist, meaning that I go out in the public and I do shows like this and whatnot. I work with individual couples, and I do workshops to train clinicians, sexuality professionals, in working with people who have medical limitations and disability in respect to enhancing their intimacy and sexuality with themselves and their partners.
Okay, so I just want to say, because let's just catch people up to par, you used to work for the IRS. Mm-hmm. And then you became a clinical sexologist and educator. And I'm just going to wrap up in a word kind of what we talked about last time. Like, I could do that in a word, but I'm going to try. And that you were watching a cable TV show on human sexuality.
Correct.
And they were discussing, the Kama Sutra and what positions might be better for men with lower back problems.
Correct.
And that triggered off a recognition in you that there are lots of people who have range of motion difficulties, and in particular little people who have hip issues and mm-hmm. things that can be uncomfortable. And you decided, well, there was no way for you to go really for research on this, so you called your girlfriends. That's the best.
Yeah, the girlfriends. That's the best place to go to
yes.
when you're trying to figure out what's going on.
Yes.
And they were great because they were honest and forthright about their own experience, because it's a sensitive subject.
Yes.
People are embarrassed to share their real story.
Until they talk to you for about 3 minutes, and you make nothing embarrassing or uncomfortable, I feel.
Thank you.
Apparently a lot of the world feels that way. So last time you were talking about a lot of the actual physical makeup of women. And then you wanted to talk about kind of the emotional aspect of it. So you just take it and start, and you talk.
Well, I thought maybe today, because last time we gave a broad overview of sexuality and intimacy regarding people with medical limitations, as I say it, or I like to also call it unique body types, because we're all slightly different in some way or another.
And there are also all kinds of medical limitations,
mm-hmm.
like either cancer and any kind
yeah,
of medical.
Yeah, health issues, chronic yes. illness, acute conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And in one way or another, one of the first things that's going to be compromised is your sexual fulfillment and sexual health. And it's a natural thing that can happen. So I know that we had a wonderful show last time. We just kind of went over some general points. Today, I thought what might be fun is to talk about what I call my 9 steps to heighten your sexuality and intimacy with your partner and yourself. And I actually came up with an awesome little handout that I use during Valentine's when I do my workshop during Valentine's Day. And to me, you know, every day is Valentine's Day, and you would
yes.
wish. And so, although I know it's not Valentine's right now, the information can be very useful. And when I wrote this, when I put together this information, it's really a nice general overview of reminders of how we can be more intimate with ourselves and our partner, and even myself. As I was reading it last night before coming here today, I could see that, I need to pay attention to some of this in my own life.
Yes, because you can get so busy with
yeah.
so many things that you can absolutely forget to make an appointment and plan ahead.
Well,
so I just read one, but
yes.
all these things, yes.
So, you know, we could go through the different points, but I thought before we did that,
mm-hmm.
it might be fun just to briefly discuss what qualities to look for in a lasting partner. What lasting qualities to look for in a
that's good for everybody. Good, go.
Yes. And here it is. Partner qualities for a lasting relationship. And I can break it down in three parts. We can briefly go through it because that is where it starts. How do we choose our partners? How do we move forward in connecting with another person? And oftentimes we find and get connected with people for the wrong reasons, and then it goes downhill from that.
What are some of those wrong reasons you might want to remind people?
Well, to fulfill a need of lonesomeness, perhaps.
Uh-huh.
You know, or maybe you're depressed.
Or to fulfill a need of somebody else, like a parent who is pushing for
you to be in a
get married.
Yes,
uh-huh.
Yes, that's true, too. That can happen.
So
I always say that, you know, when you're looking or when you're in a partner relationship, your partner should enhance your life, not define it. I think that's really critical.
Nice.
Don't you?
Yes, yes. Enhance, not define. I like that a lot.
Especially for women and more so today because we're so much more independent than in my parents' or grandparents' generation, where there was so much dependency on your partner, don't you think?
Yes.
Really,
that definition, yes.
So I encourage everybody, male and female, to try to look at your relationship as an enhancement or an extension of that kind of fulfillment, but don't define it so that your life can go on if it doesn't work out. So here are the three qualities that I think that are very important to look for. Number one, when you're meeting with someone, observe how that person handles stress and life situations, conflicts. And it could be as simple as, you know, maybe driving and you miss the red light, you miss the green light, the red light, or whatever, and you see a little road rage coming out or something like that.
Good point. Because I was thinking you'd have to know somebody for a while to see, but you don't. You can see.
Well, you can get some clues, you know, and how they on how a person handles stress. There's nothing wrong with having stress or conflicting situations. It's the way you handle them.
Sure.
So be very observant of that and yourself too. So I say, look at these qualities in other people, but we should look at it ourselves.
I was going to say that too, because all these things that you're talking about is. Those are things that you want yourself to be.
And you're going to attract a quality person as long as you have quality to give as well. So the second thing is to observe the relationship that this person has with other people. And I'm not just talking about the typical family relationship, but what about how person might get along with their ex? Or how does this person treat the weight gap?
I was just going to say, that's a big clue on a date, how people are with.
And you can just see so much and pick up so many clues about how that person handles. And that would give you a measure of whether or not this person is respectful of other people and treat people with integrity. So, you know, instead of asking, how do you treat other people, just watch.
Yes, you're not going to get an answer anyway for that, are you?
And then the last thing is to notice whether or not this individual has a passion in life or a desire to achieve a higher purpose. And, you know, that kind of subject is bounced around a lot these days. Higher purpose. But it does not mean you need to open up an orphanage in, you know, Africa. It means what can you do right here that is meaningful, that is outside of yourself, you know, just like this radio show that you're doing, you know, to connect people.
Letting other people shine.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So the higher purpose and passion of life can be anything. It's how you treat that passion in life. If you have that curiosity, like I did, you were mentioning that I watched the Kama Sutra program and then I heard someone talking about, the narrator talking about, you know, lower back pain and sex position. That piqued my curiosity. And if you have a curiosity for life, that will lead you to a passion or a purpose that you probably never even thought about before.
Yes, and also I'm guessing that when you, you know, it didn't just pique your curiosity, but you could see where you could be helpful.
Yes, yes, and serving others is such an important factor, and I've noticed that in my service of others, we're serving ourselves. So
But I
like to pay it forward. Anyway, so those are three things that we could talk about forever, but in a nutshell, those are the qualities that you can look for. But now when you're looking for a partner, you want to make sure that your matchup is compatible on a sexual level, sexuality level, and you want to look at attitudes, your values, and your beliefs.
You know, somebody, a woman I knew, and she was a matchmaker, actually, and one of the things she said, and it always stuck with me, she said, chemistry is not negotiable.
Mm, this is true.
Isn't that?
Yeah, it really is.
You can't make something out of...
Yeah, I have found out my own experience when I have gone out dating after I was divorced in my 40s, and I went out with someone, and I didn't like the way that person kissed. It was so strange. The person, I mean, the individual was clean and nice and everything, but there was something very strange about the chemistry of how we connected on that level.
And you're making such a little grimacing face right now with your mouth.
Yeah,
you're thinking about it. I know.
It was so strange. That was so disappointing because this person is wonderful on every other level. But that killed it for me. It was
deal breaker, as they say.
For me, it was. Anyway, at the end of the day, you know, we just want to emotionally connect with someone and find that companionship. So hopefully some of the discussions that we have will provide that path to finding that awesome companion. So the handout that I was talking to you about earlier is called Will You Be My Valentine? 9 Steps to Hiking Your Sensuality and Intimacy. And I don't know how much we'll be able to cover today.
Just start right in.
Okay, so spells out the word Valentine. So the first letter, V, is validate and communicate. And what I say here is that we should be able to share open communication of what's pleasurable or not pleasurable to both of you. Express verbally, write your thoughts in the first person, I like it when you touch me here.
Okay, I'm glad you said that, because there's something about a passive voice in any aspect of life that's kind of a turnoff.
It really is.
Yes.
And to expect that the other person should know what you want, it's just really not fair. So you need to be able to communicate these things. If you're not able to verbally communicate, you can use your hand. So if I want to be touched a certain way, I will put my hand over my partner's hand and ask, and through that motion, to have him move faster or slower, stronger or harder. Sometimes it changes from day to day. So what works one day is different another day.
Good point.
But to be able to validate and communicate these feelings and thoughts to your partner is really critical.
And I see your next A here should really come before that in terms of a relationship, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
You have to do this first.
Unfortunately, V came first.
No, I understand that.
But so I would say that let's not look at this in the order that's given.
Right. But before you take your partner's hand, you have to do these things. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
A is to allow trust. And you bring up a good point. So there's everything that we're talking about. So you can put it in the right order, hopefully. So you need to allow trust. Allow you to yourself to completely let go of inhibition, to give and receive the gift of pleasure. Embrace the trust of your partner. Be vulnerable so that you can find some happiness in that. Acknowledge your desire to be heard, validated, and loved. What we want is to someone to say, I want you. I hear you. I get you, meaning I get who you are. And I love you. These are like critical things. And for that to really happen, you have to allow the trust to flow. So L in my Valentine is love yourself. Embrace your unique body type and then embrace the pleasuring of each other. So I say make love to your body. Know what sensations feel good. And when I say that, we're talking about masturbation, which is really a difficult subject for many people. And by the way, the month of May is Masturbation Month.
And when did that happen?
It's been around for a while. I don't know how many years, but if you'd like to talk about masturbation in the month of May, I have a whole another program. So you really need to take the time to explore your body and understand what feels good and doesn't feel good so that you can share that with your partner. It's unfair, like we just said, for your partner to know what feels good. Show and tell is really what it's about. E is enthusiasm. There's nothing worse than being a downer when your partner asks, you know, oh, can you go down on me or can you pleasure me? And you give him or her that ugly face, like, really? Do we really want to do this tonight? The enthusiasm really has to be up there. And I have to say, even for myself, that's hard. There are times when we're too tired and we don't feel like doing anything, but your partner
wants
something.
Or you've had a day where just being civil is a challenge.
Yes, yes.
Let alone being sexy.
Right. And especially for people who have medical issues.
Oh,
you're
yes,
so
of
tiring.
Course.
It can be very difficult to be enthusiastic. So you don't need to have any secrets or sex technique for that. I think your partner will be attracted just on the enthusiasm of wanting to be with each other. That is a big excitement. And try not to let your medical condition get in the way, which is what I do when I consult with people, is finding alternative paths on how to overcome your limitations.
Right, so that takes some learning.
It takes learning,
education.
It takes education. It takes me doing an in-depth interview with you so that I know exactly what your issues are. And I do a very thoughtful process of interviewing and getting a history of what your condition is. Okay, so now we're the letter N, and non-intercourse sex. What do you think that might mean?
Well, just what it says.
You peeked.
No, well, I mean, but non-intercourse sex. Yes, you would think. You know, when you're a kid and you're just necking.
Yeah, that can be sexual, huh?
Well, it can be. It is. I mean, there's a lot of non-intercourse sex that goes on in life.
So, do you think oral sex is sex?
Sure.
I did not have sex with that woman. Yes, oral sex is sex, but that's a non-intercourse sex, meaning that there's no penetration.
Oh, I see what you're saying, of course, yes.
So there's no penetration involved. So you can do other things like massage, caress, embrace each other.
Yes, I mean, because sometimes just holding hands
can be very sensual.
Oh, my goodness.
Have you ever had an orgasm from just kissing? You haven't? I actually had that experience a couple times. It was very unexpected. And it's really cool, which tells you how much there is to the emotional side of things.
Oh, for sure.
You know, it's not just stimulating your lady parts or his parts. It's a lot more than that. So non-intercourse sex also takes out the performance expectation.
That's a word that should be stricken from the English language, I think, when it comes to sex.
Expectation?
No, performance.
Performance, yes. Definitely.
That's such a flatliner kind of attitude.
Seriously, if you're not able to have the actual intercourse sex where you're putting your penis into something, whether it's a vagina or anus or mouth, for whatever reason, it is not the end of your sex life. There are so many other things that are so fabulous. So I feel concerned when people feel like, oh, I can't do it the normal way, then everything is out the window. So let's take that out of the conversation. So the next one is T. The letter T is time for each other. And so, making an appointment and plan ahead is very important to literally make it a priority into your life that, okay, tonight we're going to have some downtime. Unfortunately, you might think that my next thing is to be spontaneous.
I would exactly ask you that.
It's contradicting. But what I mean by that is let your emotions and your feelings, like, let it go. You don't need to pre-plan exactly how you're going to move your hand, what you're going to do next. Just know that you're able to do these things. And to be spontaneous with your partner, and maybe you're not going to have an orgasm that night, and that's okay. You're just going to be naked and intimate.
But I can see where you could either plan ahead, or if you have forgotten to plan ahead, you can be spontaneous.
Yes.
I mean, those, you can do either or, too.
Either or. Now, for people who have low sex desire or maybe some inhibitions, it's important to plan because you want to make a conscious effort to do some of these exercises that I might give you if I'm working with you. So planning ahead and doing the exact exercise, it can be really exciting, and then it opens up the spontaneity.
Mm-hmm.
Also, being present and in the moment, especially for women, we're so busy because we're nurturers and for too many people in our life. So don't be planning the market list when you're with your partner.
That's right. Tomorrow night's menu is out of the... Right.
Now, I also say if you don't have a partner, you still want to be able to be spontaneous and plan ahead with yourself. So that if you're trying to have some more experience in what feel good and masturbation techniques, for example, you want to plan ahead some downtime. And so that would apply too, even if you don't have a partner or if you do have a partner. If you have a partner, you can still masturbate. Some people think that if you have a partner, you shouldn't masturbate. But I say no. You should always be able to satisfy yourself as well. Okay, so the next item is initiate playfulness and fantasy. Have you ever done that? You haven't.
Well, playful, but not fantasy. I'm not much for fantasy.
Well, this is a real good thing to try to do with your partner, is to, you know, dressing up in costumes or doing something different.
I see. Okay.
Or maybe doing a little public sex, like maybe having sex in your car parked somewhere. Have you ever done that? That's really fun. I have. Having sex in the car. I mean, I bought a new car many years ago, and we had to... what do you call it? Initiate the car. And a rite of passage, so to speak. And we had sex in the back seat. And then we had sex in the front seat. And it's a lot of fun.
But not on a public street. I mean, you have to plan where you're going
to
do this.
Yeah, we park in, you know, like a dark parking lot, you know, safe area, but a dark parking lot.
So you're lucky if the police don't just happen to roll by.
I know. I guess that goes back to planning ahead. You want to make sure that you're not going to get caught. But, you know, another fun thing to do is to do a mystery date. Have you ever done that? This is fun. I did this when I was married, too. Is to go out with your partner and pretend like you don't know each other and you arrive at the bar separately and then you pick up on each other. It's fun.
Well, you know, there was a wonderful scene in The Right Stuff.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah, it's really fun. And it's just... You can talk about yourself, or you can create a character for yourself, and all of that, and then you go home and have wild, passionate, intimate sex or intimate moment together. It's a lot of fun. So being playful in that way, I think it's fun. Also, writing letters, and you're the fan of the love letter.
I think
we've lost that art. Many people lost the ability to communicate and write some meaningful thoughts about your partner and how you feel about them. With your hand, in your own handwriting, if you can't. If you can't, do it in your own handwriting.
Or work that into the mystery date.
Or work it into that, yes. But I think that people have lost the art of being romantic a little bit, and we need to be able to bring that back. And then there's new ideas. What I say about that is, how can we enhance our sexuality, doing things that we haven't done before? Kegel exercises, being able to contract and release your genital, your vagina, or your penis, and that helps with blood flow and endurance. It's really good to enhance your orgasmic ability when you do those things. Maybe going on a retreat with your partner, an erotic retreat, that can be something new and different. Taking a tantra class together is fun. So there's all kinds of adaptive products and things of that nature that you can find on my website for things that need to be accommodating. Mm-hmm. Okay, so lastly, under E, you want to enjoy the experience and find that emotional, intimate connection with your partner so that you're not just on autopilot. Enjoy the experience. Take pictures. Have you taken naked pictures of each other?
No.
Oh, my God. It's so much fun. Seriously. And one time I went to Las Vegas. They had mirrors on the ceiling. And I took pictures of us in bed looking up at the ceiling. And it was so cool. So much fun. So enjoy that. So embark on a new passion and a plan. And enjoy your life. Enjoy your partner. And go for it.
Very nice. And I just want to point out, you did say this, but I just want to make a point of it, is that you wrote this as a Valentine.
Mm-hmm. As a Valentine workshop.
Yes. But, you know, that kind of counts as love letter in a way.
Does
for
it
me.
Really?
I think so.
Yay.
Because, you know, you could take any one of these things. You could take any one of these points and make a whole, you know, when you say here, write romantic or funny letters and read them to each other. Mm-hmm. I have a little fine-tuning on that one.
Okay, tell me.
Is you write romantic and funny or romantic and sexy letters, and you don't read them to each other. You just leave it and let that person...
Yeah, find them.
read it.
Yeah.
And let that be the enticement.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because there's something about, well, reading to each other is great, actually. But when you send somebody a letter and you don't want to be there when that person reads it because it calls on a response that person may not be ready to make.
Right. That's true.
Yes. And the other thing is about sometimes people say, you know, how sexy can I be in love letters? I say you can be really sexy in love letters because you're just writing it to one person. And sometimes I encourage people to just write it. Just write it. You don't have to send it. It's private so far.
Yeah.
Before you put it in the mail, it's private.
Definitely.
And it's your business and nobody is watching you. Just spell it out. Do whatever you want. And then if you, because sometimes, and I'm wondering if you find this also in your work, people are embarrassed to say things that, or do things out loud. And once they do, it's not only not so bad, it's kind of nice.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that what this is all about?
It's a release.
Yes.
And you do need to be vulnerable. It's okay.
So you just write it and see if the very thing you were afraid to do or say, once you do it, well, that feels kind of nice.
Yes.
You know, I'm now the person who can do this openly.
It is. It's exciting.
Now, the only thing you have to consider in love letters is it's also just going to be sent to one person. Maybe somebody else will find it around. Your grandchildren will find it someday in a treasure box. And you know what? Let them know a little something about Granny.
Yeah, Granny.
She was not always some old lady.
You know, there's a wonderful movie that exemplifies that, and that's The Bridges of Madison County. Have you ever seen that?
You know, I did, but I didn't pay attention to it. You talk about it.
Well, it's so wonderful, and it is about a woman who had an affair. And she kept it secret from her family, but after she passed away, her children found diary. And it explains her entire intimate experience. And her children never knew that she had all this passion.
Isn't that a nice legacy, by the way, to find out that you come from a long line of passion or love or something? Yes. Oh, I think that's such a gift.
It really is. It was a beautiful, beautiful moment when I saw that in the movie.
Okay.
I don't know how much time we have.
We have. If you've got more that you'd like to say, we can have more time. Ooh, I see you do. Go.
Well, I thought what would be interesting is, have you ever heard of Mark O'Brien?
No.
And Mark O'Brien was featured in the movie Sessions, where the man that was in the iron lung, and he had a surrogate partner,
surrogate
partner therapist that worked with him. And it's a true story, and it was featured in the film The Sessions, and it talked about his experience with a surrogate partner therapist. Surrogate partner therapist is not a prostitute. People think it is, but it's not. It is a professional therapist that works with the individual on a body level so that if someone needs some intimacy coaching or learning how to know what it feels like to be touched, that's what this person does. So for Mark O'Brien, who was paralyzed from his illness, I forgot what he had. Well, he was in an iron lung. He had polio.
Yes, that's what the iron lung was for.
Anyway, if you go online, you can Google the documentary, by the way. So if you don't see the movie Session, the documentary is available online, and it's called Breathing Lesson. And it's about 20-minute or 40-minute documentary. It actually won an Academy Award. And it's absolutely amazing because you hear in his voice as he shares his story, and he was, he spent his adult life in Berkeley and went to college and everything. Anyway, I have two quotes that I always say when I talk about sexuality and disability and we think about, you know, limitations and things like this. And the first one he says is, I want people to think of disability as a social problem, that you might be disabled at any minute. To think not in terms of us and them. Think of the eventuality. Everyone becomes disabled unless they die first. I know that sounds really crazy, but I think what he speaks to is that we do decline.
Oh, right. And we lose certain of our strengths.
Yeah, yes, just the normal aging process.
Yes, right.
And so for people to say, oh, well, you know, disability, that's not about me, and they just turn their ear away and don't want to talk about that.
By the way, that is a disability.
Yeah, seriously. It does affect all of us in one way or another.
And that attitude is a disability. That's really a killer. So go ahead.
Yes. And then the other quote that I like about what Mark O'Brien says is about being able to be lovable. He's really great. He says, they tell us to think of ourselves as sexy and beautiful, but it doesn't do any good unless someone else sees us as sexual and beautiful. You can't demand love. You have to be lovable.
Which gets back to the first thing you started off talking about.
And which one was that?
What you look for in a partner, how you handle stress, and how you reward other, and that's what makes you lovable.
It's really sad because I know that there are life challenges that everyone goes through, even more so with people with disabilities. And then they point fingers at external factors. Mm-hmm. They get angry. They point blame. And the stress factor of trying just to manage their life turns themselves off to being able to be lovable. And if you're not going to be able to handle that and you're not lovable, how are you going to attract a partner? A quality partner.
So, and then you're touching on something else because you see that it doesn't do us any good unless someone else sees us as sexual and beautiful. And I'm sure we have all noticed that people who feel that way about themselves, I mean, if you see yourself as a sexual person, that is so contagious. If you see yourself as a sexual person, others will also. And that's kind of an upward soaring spiral, is it not?
Yes, it is. And, I mean, I do believe that we need to have opportunities, too. So people might say, well, I do feel that way. I do embrace all of those things. But there needs to be opportunity. And you know, I think about the time when Viola Davis won her Academy Award. And she talked about being black. And in the industry, there's so many doors that are closed. She says, the only thing that separates women of color from anyone else is simply opportunity. And I like what she says because I think it also includes other people in marginalized groups, and it's the opportunity. But everyone has to be able to figure out how we can provide more opportunities in whatever area that you're looking for, whether it's in your work or in your intimate life. But I think it still starts with how you feel about yourself and how you project yourself.
100%.
Yeah, that creates opportunity, too.
Yes. And that self-image has nothing to do with what you look like.
Correct.
Thank you.
Yeah, there's a lot of body shaming out there.
Oh, that's terrible. But also you see women sometimes who are not what you would call the traditional beauty.
Yes.
And they are gorgeous, and they walk with they present themselves, like you're saying.
Yes, which falls right in line to what I always say. I accept my body as imperfect. It gives me breath. It gives me life. What matters most is how I carry myself, not how my body carries me.
Yes, I remember that from last time, and I have quoted you and mentioned that to so many people.
Oh.
Yes. Thank you.
Sweet.
Oh, well, thank you for coming back to do this again. This is just so joyful. And actually, come to think of it, I mean, sex is a joyful, well, or should be, part of life.
Yes, absolutely.
It's a very pro-life kind of a life force.
We were given this energy, and it's okay to embrace it in any way you can.
Yes, yes. It makes everybody look better.
Yes.
Thank you, dear. Well, okay. I'm just... I can't wait till you come back and talk about something else, will you, as life goes on?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure being here again.
Thank you, dear. And just remember that if you think you need to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, first of all, writing a love letter is a special occasion, and there are always opportunities. For example, those write romantic or funny or sexy letters and just drop them around and leave them for your partner or somebody you would like to be your partner. Do it. And I just want to tell you, you can also go and find Dr. Mary Lou Naccarato anytime you feel like it at www.drmarylou.com. Have a good time. Bye.